morning to you. We're looking at cancer. We're looking at blood cancer because Professor Michael O'Dwyer joins me in studio, and he is based indeed in Galway, and he's part of the Blood Cancer Network Ireland, which is an NUI Galway-led grouping, and they're having an open evening on Monday the 6th of November. I'll give you details of that in a moment's time. Professor O'Dwyer, good morning to you.
Morning, Keith. Thanks for having me here.
Thanks for dropping into us today. What exactly, can I ask you, is blood cancer? It's because blood is fluid and...
Sure. So, I think, you know, people will be familiar probably with entities like leukemia, you know, Hodgkin's lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and maybe less familiar with the condition called multiple myeloma. But basically, because of each of these entities on their own are, you know, somewhat rare, it's easier to put them all under an umbrella term of blood cancers. And collectively, the blood cancers account for about 10% of all cancers. And in fact, in Ireland, they would be together the fourth leading cause of cancer-related death.
And can I ask you, how does cancer cells survive in blood? I mean, and I'm simplifying it now, so forgive the ignorance of the question. I mean, if you took all the blood out and put new blood in, would the cancer be gone?
No, it wouldn't, because in a way what we're looking at in the blood is the tip of the iceberg. And in fact, the blood cells come ultimately from the bone marrow, which is the blood factory. So inside all of the bones, you know, there's a central area. If you look at a marrow bone from the butchers, you know, you'll see this hollow area with sort of fat.
Yeah.
And in a younger animal, it'll be sort of redder and bloody. And that's actually the bone marrow where the blood cells are produced, and they leave the bone marrow then and make it out into the bloodstream. So, you know, with some treatments for leukemia, we can see sometimes that we can effectively eliminate the cells from the abnormal cells from the blood, but then when we go and look at the bone marrow, that there's still abnormal cells in the bone marrow. So we really have to tackle the roots of it in the bone marrow as well.
So the production family, the production facility, i.e. the bone marrow, continues to produce the cancer cells even if you eliminate them from the blood
in certain cases, certainly at the beginning, but with successful treatment we're able to, you know, tackle the roots, if you like, within the bone marrow, and then ultimately, you know, patients, a significant proportion of patients, you know, with blood cancers can go into remission, where we can no longer see any evidence of the disease either in the blood or in the bone marrow.
We don't know what causes cancer.
No, I think that's fair to say. I think, you know, there are, it's a complex sort of interplay of different factors. In some cases, you know, genetics can play a role. So occasionally we will find that within an individual family there may be, you know, a strong history of one particular type of cancer. But in most cases it is sporadic. And in terms of the blood cancers, by and large, they're diseases of aging. So there's a preponderance of blood cancers in patients, you know, in their sort of late 60s and beyond. So, you know, as the population gets older, as medical care generally, I suppose, gets better, we are seeing an increasing, you know, prevalence, or in other words, number of people alive living, you know, with these conditions.
Now, you're involved in the whole research side of things, hence the open evening on the 6th, which I'll go through in a moment with you. How is research going when it comes to blood cancer?
Well, I think we're making actually huge strides in the treatment of blood cancers. I'll give you just a few examples. When I started out my career initially, I worked on a condition called chronic myeloid leukemia. And at that time, for most patients, there really was ineffective treatment, and the average survival was around 3 to 5 years. Then a new treatment was discovered, which was a small molecule, you know, what we call a kinase inhibitor. And, you know, 20 years later, this is now a disease that, by and large, most patients can live a normal life, or expect a normal life expectancy with successful treatment. And so that treatment has completely revolutionized, you know, that disease, chronic myeloid leukemia. But bringing things, you know, forward right up to the present day, just within the last few months, two very exciting new treatments have been approved for leukemia and lymphoma. And these are called CAR T-cell treatments. Now, these are only initially approved in the US. It's a very, very complicated treatment where a patient's own immune cells are removed, called T cells, are taken out of the body. They're genetically engineered to allow them to better recognize the cancer cells, and then they're reinfused into the patients. And in children and young adults who've had completely resistant leukemia, remission rates of over 80% have been seen, which is truly remarkable.
So it really is amazing.
Yeah.
And this is why you research. Now, you're saying to me there that, or I was saying to you that Anywhere Gold was the lead partner with you on this one.
Yeah, exactly. So a number of years ago, I suppose back to about 2014, myself and a colleague, Dr. Ava Segesti, in the Department of Biochemistry at NUI Galway, we were keen to establish a biobank just to begin with. We felt that if we could set up a sort of a repository of samples from patients with blood cancers, that this could provide a very useful resource. And we went to the Irish Cancer Society and looked to get some funding to do that. And they said, well, you know, we don't just give funding out for something small like that, but we are going to have a big call around a more ambitious, you know, cancer sort of centre, collaborative cancer centre. And so we put together a grant application, bringing in other people around the country who are interested in blood cancers, with the intention of increasing our capacity to do early phase clinical trials, to set up a biobank, and also to set up a registry for patients with blood cancer, so we can follow patients and see exactly how they do over time. And all of these things are, they're at a relatively early stage, but we're making good progress, and we're hoping that, you know, within a few years' time, that we'll have a very powerful resource available for patients nationally with blood cancers.
So who would you like to go along then on Monday, the 6th of November, Monday week?
Well, I think what we'd like to do is to encourage patients in particular, family members who, you know, may wish to learn a little bit more about what blood cancers are about. I mean, anybody really who might have an interest, who maybe has had a family member affected in the past, who maybe worried themselves about the possibility of getting a blood cancer themselves. Essentially, anybody in the public who feels that they don't know enough about blood cancers or would like to learn more about what it is that we're doing. Mm. And, you know, it'll be myself giving a bit of an introduction about the Blood Cancer Network. A patient is going to tell her own story who's on a clinical trial, and then various members of the network will describe a little bit about the importance of clinical trials, what a registry does, and what the biobank does as well.
Now, it's in room 2010, I'm told, on the top floor of the clinical science building. So that's, if you go in around, well, park responsibly first off.
Yeah.
But if you go in around by the old maternity there, isn't that where that
exactly.
is?
Exactly. So it's at the back of the hospital, facing onto, I don't know, is it Costello Road in Chantilly?
Yeah, Chantilly.
So, you know, you can't drive in that way anymore. I think there's a side gate there. But if you're approaching from the main hospital gates, then you can probably park somewhere on the hospital grounds and then walk around by the maternity to the back of the hospital.
Yeah, you can walk, if they go down by the lifts and just keep walking.
Exactly, you can actually walk directly through the lobby, take a left and keep going straight.
Kind of sad I know the complex too well, don't I? When I know exactly. Me, we're on the place, even the research facility. So again, it's going to be in room 2010. There is a lift that will bring you up there, and they'll have tea and coffee and a chat as well. So
exactly. And if I could just get in one little plug, if you don't mind, I believe you had my wife in here earlier during the week. And if people want to, you know, swing by, there's an exhibition as well of some very nice artwork on one of the corridors behind the lobby as well.
So what do you want them to do then? What time is this on, by the way?
It's on, I think, 7 to 9 p.m. on Monday, the 6th of November.
So 7 to 9 p.m. And then you want them either before or after us to go to the art corridor.
Exactly. Yeah. I think
you're covering all your bases, Michael,
exactly,
for the weekend. So you're covering every base here. It runs actually until the end of November, if they want to pop in and see that art exhibition. And Michael's wife, Clodagh, is involved in that as well. Listen, good luck on that. So 7 to 9 on Monday week, the 6th of November. And again, patients, their families, or anybody who's interested to learn more about this, pop along and join Professor Michael O'Dwyer and his team from there. Good luck to you.
Thanks
for joining
us, Keith,
today. And don't forget that art exhibition. Please do Michael a favour and pop in and do see it as well. It's exactly 10:30. We're back just after these.